to the Spurs News Podcast, your home for all things Tottenham Hotspur. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spurs News Podcast. I am Sam. Joining me is my new regular co-host, my partner in crime across multiple podcasts, but from a secret, undisclosed bunker location today, it's Stefan.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. So, you're hidden away.
I'm hidden away. It's, as most listeners will know, it is the Easter holidays, and we decided to have building work done.
Yeah.
So, therefore, the house is very noisy, so I am kind of hidden away.
Yes.
In a little corner, hoping that no one finds me.
No, smart move. But obviously, that does mean
if there is, stay here all day.
If there is any background noise, apologies. We will try and edit out the best we can. But yeah, there may well be the odd builder, you know, shouting at each other or something. But
I mean, yeah, it's only fitting carpet, so you'd think it shouldn't be that noisy. However, I was wrong.
Yeah. In my experience, this all noisy.
I've never thought of a hammer being used to lay a carpet. That surprised me.
How did you think they did it?
Well, I just thought they roll it out, stick it in the corners. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Apparently, no, there's hammers and all, drills and hammers and all sorts. I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
I never knew they drill carpet to the floor. It's got screws in the corners. Who knows?
There's people listening to us right now who like do this job full time, just like shaking their heads in despair. Like a couple of office boys talking.
Oh yeah.
So, oh my god! Learn how the real world works. So we have a fairly packed show. Obviously, we were off for a week last week, but as everyone knows, we've been on and off for a while anyway. But last week it was because of the international break, which is the last one, thankfully. We are in the running now. This is going to be an interesting running for the title race, for the Champions League spots. Whether that be the top four or top five still remains to be seen. It's going to be interesting. For the first time
even
in
the relegation stuff, the whole table could change. It's great.
Yeah, it is
some
interesting.
Some club we don't know about could be hit with a 20-point deduction out of nowhere.
Yeah, that ain't
gonna happen. Then obviously they'll obviously be reduced down to two, of course. But what's going to happen?
Yeah. So let's dive into it. Then we're going to open up talking about the most recent game, which is Tottenham Hotspur 2, Luton Town 1. Still bizarre to me, Luton are in the Premier League. That's still a weird thing. Every now and again, I kind of like, it's Luton. That's funny.
They pulled out some decent results, fair to them, though.
Yeah, they're not.
I'm not doing the Burnley.
No.
Or Sheffield United.
No, Sheffield United have been disappointing. But anyway, so we won the game 2-1. I don't think that the scoreline really says much about the game. We went 1-0 down after like 3 minutes.
Yes.
And the goal we conceded, I mean, Ange was steaming. And the fans in the stadium were a bit shell-shocked. To me, watching it, I don't know if you caught the goal or not, because I remember you sort of came to the game later. I can't remember.
I just missed it. They're just starting to kick off again. And I was like, I've got the start of the game.
No,
it's 1-0.
No. Yeah, well, that's an unfortunate moment. To me, and again, you know, life's about opinions and this one's purely mine, it looked absolute lazy on behalf of everyone involved in Tottenham Hotspur on that pitch to concede that goal. I'm not going to single anyone out because I think there are several players in it. When you watch it back, and I'd encourage everyone to have a quick glance at it to see if you agree with me, it had this kind of almost it's only Luton feel to like half-assed effort. And what worried me about that, or what annoyed me about that, is I looked at that Fulham game before the international break, and I genuinely felt that we put a team on the field and they went out there like, we got this. We just demolished Aston Villa at their ground. We got this. We're a good team.
Sandy Fulham.
Yeah. And they got played, and they got outplayed, outfought in every department. And they just couldn't. And the other thing as well is it played on my mind a bit that a lot of that first 11 that went out there all off on international duty, you know, Sonny has to travel a long way. Romero has to travel away. It kind of felt like they checked out. It kind of felt like they were kind of like, oh, that flight's going to be a bitch. Oh, hang on, I'm in a game.
They'd already packed the bags, yeah.
Yeah, and I know, look, they're professionals, and I don't think on any kind of conscious level they were doing that. And again, this is just my opinion, that's how it felt. So to see in the opening 3 minutes of this, after the international break, where I know that Ange and the coaching team would have used that Fulham game to go, look, this is unacceptable. Like, this level of effort... completely no, this isn't what we do. To see,
so we spoke about the interview after the game where it was like the first time he felt he'd been let down, disappointed. Yeah. I was expecting, like, you know, rockets up the arses for this game.
Yeah, and I'd kind of hoped for a fast start. I'd kind of hoped to see us come out the blocks. I mean, we got our Spurs news chat and we were kind of like, you know, score predictions. And I said, I mean, I was being silly, but I said, 7-0. I had it in my brain that we were definitely going to see a reaction and it was going to be a fast start. And I genuinely believe when we score first and early, because then teams have to come out, we're very dangerous. We have the ability and the players to really hammer a team. So I was kind of like, I think we got this. You know, if we score early against Luton, they can't play the low block. They've got to come out and play. I think we're going to rip them a new one. 7-0 was probably over the top, but it was just kind of like I was in a kind of very, you know, come on mood. So to see this kind of goal, which came from a sloppy pass from Kulusevski, which then Sonny could have really stopped the move, but kind of half-assed the challenge, and then the player got away from Townsend, got away from him.
Yeah.
And then I saw our two central defenders, and I think it was Porro as well, basically just come to the ball. And then, like, if you watch it, I don't think anyone did an analysis of it. I think I might have seen it online where someone literally, like, stopped it, paused it, and went, look where they all are. And it is literally, they've all shuffled across one place because Udogi was out of position because obviously gone forward, which is what we do. And the guy who scored is just stood there. Just like, hello,
I'm on my own. Completely unmarked.
Yeah, I'm on my own. No one's even looking at me.
Morris, I think it was Morris, just holds off the defender.
Yeah,
I'm in his place. And then this guy is just completely, yeah. I was like, yeah, we have a midfield. Where are they?
Yeah, and Basuma, I mean, to say that it was a half-hearted track back is an understatement. Now, so when all that happened and they scored, and I'm just sort of sat there looking at it, I was a little bit shell-shocked for a while. It probably took me, and the funny thing is, I think the crowd were. Because the atmosphere to start, great. That goal, and there was a kind of like a little bit of a reaction, like, oh, come on, you know, let's get going. And then it was just really quiet for a while, which, yeah, I know there's a lot of kind of, oh, it's a bowl stadium, it's nothing like White Hart Lane, but I'm sorry, I've been to White Hart Lane when it's a frigging library a few occasions, so don't give me that crap. This stadium genuinely generates quite good noise, quite good atmosphere. Our fans are very good. So
it was designed to hold the noise, to make it sound even louder. Yeah.
So
it's no excuse for it being as silent as it was.
No, but I think it was a little bit of, I don't believe this. Like the Fulham game, we all kind of went, right, bad day at the office, let's put that to bed. We've all been looking forward to Ange Ball. What the hell is this? You know, what the hell
all
was that?
All of a sudden you're thinking, are we going to get whitewashed by Luton?
Yeah, it was kind of like, is this actually going wrong here? Like, you know, the other thing as well, which played into my mind, which is a stupid thing, is someone did a like-for-like comparison between this season and last season after this many games. Last season, Tottenham were fifth and challenging the top four. This season we're fifth, challenging the top four. From this point on, we fell apart last season, like, dramatically.
Yeah.
Conte went, they appointed his assistant, I mean, which was just the most, what the hell was that thinking, other than save some money?
We don't like the football we're playing. Let's bring in the guy that plays the exact same football.
Yeah, let's bring in the guy who's been doing the coaching and is loyal to Conte. It was just a mess. The whole thing was a mess. So I kind of looked at that and thought, considering the football we played last season and how I didn't enjoy watching us at all, the fact that we were up there at that point, it was kind of like surprising. I was like looking at it in like comparison. I was like, well, our goal difference is a lot better. But our goal scored anyway. And so I'm sort of looking at it, I'm like, well, I've enjoyed watching us this season. So to me, it's an improvement. We are playing football. So when we went 1-0 down in that game, I was kind of like, please don't do this to me. Like, don't almost prove Conte right. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't now lose this. Don't prove to me that asshole with his rant, you know, was correct in all of this. The thing that is then weird is perception. Perception is a massive, massive thing, because I watched us then dominate the ball where we had near 80% possession for the first half. When you take away the first 5 minutes, I think the actual stat at halftime was like 76% for the whole half, which is bonkers, you know. And we created chances. Sonny hitting both posts is almost comedy. You know, like, how in the hell does that happen?
I mean, God, that entire thing, hitting both posts, and then the shot gets blocked, then the shot gets blocked, then it gets cleared, and then the shot gets blocked. And you just sat there going, how? On another day, all four players had a shot, would have scored.
Yeah. Timo Werner had a great chance, scuffed the shot. Sonny had a great chance and managed to pick the keeper out of, you know, space that way. There's the keeper. Here you go, buddy. You know, and what is interesting, and this is the thing that's kind of interesting to me about it, is because we seem to create chances even though they were in a low block, which is really good. Like, I'm really happy about that, because that's where we've always struggled, but then we didn't take them. And it's kind of like, you're kind of looking at it going, do we as a team need someone who's a more natural finisher? But then I look at Sonny and I think, actually, no, Sonny is very much a natural finisher. But these things kind of play in your mind, don't they? Like, oh, if Harry Kane was up front, it'd be 3-1 at half time. But then I watched games where Kane would miss chances all the time as well.
Like, I think I messaged you about it. Like, the front three, say front four, if you include Madison.
Yeah.
The ability they have is phenomenal. To pick a pass, to pick a shot, all that sort of thing. It's brilliant. But for some reason, like, I'm watching this, and it's been a few weeks now where I'm watching someone run into the box, and I'm like, bottom corner, go near post. Like, they've cut in from the wing, they've run into the box, and your brain goes, they're blasting that near post. That surely. And then out of nowhere, you'll see them cut the ball back to no one at the edge of the box. And you're looking at them, you're like, what has happened? Like, why are we constantly trying to find a man in space when there's not a man there? Yeah. Like, the amount of times I saw all of them, I'm not singling out a single forward, because I saw them all do it. Like, they get themselves into a great position. You think, just have a shot. Just have a shot at it. Just go for it. And they seem to try to do, like, one extra pass. And the amount of times there wasn't someone at the end of the pass, and then Luton have the ball, and you're kind of like, why are we doing this? Yeah. Why do we keep doing it?
Yeah, I mean, it is when it is everybody, and when it is constant, it's clearly coached. So clearly their view is to get into the box and try and give it to someone who has a better chance of scoring, i.e. got more of the goal to hit, rather than taking it on, taking responsibility yourself. But like you just said, you know, if you look up and then you can't make the pass, or there's no one in that position, you're better to take the shot than try and hold it up, or try and just play it into the space hoping it lands to one of your players. Because, you know, you look at, we going into the second half and the impact Johnson made, you know, they scored an own goal because he drilled that ball in low and hard, you know. And if that guy hadn't put it in his own net, odds are good that Werner would have skied it. No, he was right there. So, you know, the guy, that's why that guy got in that muddle. Werner was right behind him, and he knew he had to get contact to clear the ball. And unfortunately for him, the ball was smashed in there, and obviously it went into his net. Great for us, bad for him. But that was kind of the difference. The difference was Johnson's naturally right-footed. He was on the right side, and he wasn't cutting in. He was taking the guy and then smashing it across low and hard, which is basically what we were doing at the start of the season on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, it worked. There's no two ways about it. It worked. So what I'm kind of intrigued about is where where the kind of coaching aspect is, or what the plan is. The plan appeared to be at the start of the season that the guys wide would be delivering the ball low and hard into the box, because, you know, if a defender swings a leg or whatever, that's where it goes.
Oh, yeah.
And Sonny or Richie or whoever is going to be trying to get on the end of it. And you remember, I think Johnson to Richie a couple of games in a row were basically almost like duplicate goals, where Johnson smashed it and Richie got across the front defender and scored. Like, they were almost like copies of each other.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, it's almost like the cohesion's gone a little bit. And I wonder, like, not making excuses, but the opening to the season up until that dreaded Chelsea game, we were very settled. It was a very settled 11 with maybe a couple of subs in the games and stuff, but they'd worked together up to the start of the season. They'd worked together for those 10 games. And since that point, I know we've now started to be able to field the same team a couple of games in a row, but we had a big chunk of like the next 15 games of, you know, okay, our defence this week is all fullbacks. Okay, and this week our midfield is all second choice. And this week our attack is, oh, God, that kid from the academy needs to be there, you know. It was for a big chunk, we were all over the place. And then, of course, you had the African Cup of Nations as well. You had the Asia Cup, so Sonny wasn't there. Now, we did okay. We muddled through all of that. And, you know, we've done all right. And we can look at a few games and go, yeah, our strongest 11, we would have done better. But I think it's the cohesion that's actually suffered. I think it's the kind of, you look at it now and you see the players kind of still trying to get that rhythm back. And that's how it looks. And, you know, it's almost like a couple of the games. But when it clicks, and when they've managed to, you know, tear teams apart, like the Aston Villa game, that really clicked that day. So I do think as well there's a mental component, a kind of a... unfortunately, we showed up at Fulham with a mentality of just showing up and we got hammered. I kind of feel like a home game against Luton, we kind of did the same. And
that's what's so frustrating.
Yeah, but I think we kind of managed to shake it off, because when you look at the statistics for the game, the opportunities we created, the ball that crossed the line, but not all of it, you know, like basically the one stitch of the logo.
That was insane, wasn't it? Like, you've seen the pictures for it. It's just like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's technology, and it's right. It didn't cross not the whole of the ball did not cross the line. But you look at it and you just go, that's a goal, isn't it? That is like the definition of goal. You know, Pedro Mendes is screaming his head off at Old Trafford for that one. What the hell? you look at the actual game and you see the 2-1 scoreline, but then you look at the level of domination and, you know, that ball has that slight bit more pace on it. That's a goal. Sonny's clips the post and goes in, not rolls along the goal and goes, that's a goal. And all of a sudden, we come away from that game and it's 4-1 or 5-1. And no one's talking about old attitude at times. Everyone's looking at it going, yeah, we smashed them. You know, bad start, then we smashed them. And no one's thinking about it. So like I said, perception's an odd thing. Like, your perception of how a game went can be really, really dictated by that final score. You know, and we said it before as well about, you know, when you get out of jail with a last-minute equaliser, it feels like you've won. You've not.
Yep.
You've been crap. But you've salvaged a point in the 98th minute and you walk away happy as hell. So for me, it was an odd game from that point of view, but there was a lot in it that you sort of look at and go, actually, we did a lot well, but just didn't get the rewards today. I think if you do that week in, week out, creating that much, doing that much, more often than not, you're going to win the games or do well anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else on that game in particular you want to pick up on before we sort of roll? I've got a few questions that have been sent in, so I thought we'd...
Let's do the questions before we talk about the questions without knowing them.
Smart.
Now it's time for your comments from our social media.
You know, it's been a while, but I completely forgot. Did you see we had a complaint on Facebook that the voiceover guy's American?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. That's like complaining that our striker's Korean. Like, it's pointless. Yeah. Just absolute nonsense.
Yeah, we're a London, we're a London English club. Why is it an American voiceover?
And I live up north and you live down south. Like, we neither of us are living in London, but hey, we're a podcast.
Oh, yeah, well, people have given, people have been giving me crap for that since I started, but I am, for anyone, I mean, the vast majority of people listen to us have listened to us for a while, so thank you. But if there is anyone new, it's my friend, and he's a professional voiceover artist in the States. And he kindly did this for me as a favor, just because when I was starting this, I was trying to work stuff out, didn't know how to do things. And he said, oh, no, I'll do that for you in a professional studio, etc. And he did loads of stuff for me, and I'm still finding bits of audio every now and again. He recorded for me. I was like, oh, that's useful, thank you. But yeah, he's my friend, and we got fans all over the world. And I don't, like, for me, I don't see what the issue is. But if you do have an issue and you'd like to discuss it, please email. It's feedback@gofuckyourself.com. Okay, mate, we got some stuff from Facebook and we got something from Instagram. What do you want to start with?
Oh, let's go Instagram.
Okay, we have the one from Instagram, I believe. And you'll be delighted to hear, because I'm always delighted to hear.
Now it's time for a comment from my brother.
It's actually sunny today, so this works. Okay, so Island Brother on Instagram says, hello, fellow Spurs sufferers. I have nothing to say about that game, but it's 3 points and we forget it. Finally got to the place where I'm not looking for any performances. It's cup final time. Just win. Even if it means 2 foot drop kicking the keeper into the net. Nice. My question,
Romero,
concern, Romero's like, can I do that, please? Is that allowed?
Is that allowed?
I'm on that. Yeah. My question concerns our Swiss Army knife. Our Swedish Army knife. I'm guessing you mean Swiss Army knife. Yeah, okay. Did you all catch the comments from Ange concerning what his wingers should be doing? It seemed really damning, especially following his substitution. Should Johnson be starting, or should we get another winger that does what Ange says? Hope everyone's doing great, and come on, you Spurs. Island Brother, I'm so glad you asked this question. Now, I have a very, very strong opinion on this. So, would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Now, otherwise, I didn't hear the comments from Ange.
Okay, so Ange basically said after the game that, and again, a few journalists have pointed this out, this is the first time he's ever picked a player out for criticism. He said he was disappointed with what Kulusevski did in the first half. He wanted his winger to bring on Johnson, who would beat the man and drive the ball into the box, which is what Johnson came on and did, and we scored. Our goal was created from it. So that's the first time he's ever basically singled anyone out for a bit of criticism. And because it's the first time he's done it, everyone's kind of like, ooh, as you would. Obviously, there's more comments and stuff, and there's plenty of comments where the two of them discussed how much they like working with each other, etc. But anyone who saw the reaction of Ange at halftime knew that Kulusevski was coming off, because the minute the whistle went, he turned around to Johnson and told him to go warm up, turned to one of the coaches, and he stormed down that tunnel. And I was like, yeah.
I haven't seen Ange angry properly. Like, not firsthand like that. I saw him, which he just turned to the bench, pointed, and walked. And I was like, there wasn't even words. No, that was just that like, was, you now.
Yeah. You get ready. You're coming on.
You know that they're sat in that dressing room and he's just like, slammed the door open. Like,
I think the guy has the ability, like, for Churchillian speeches of we shall fight them on the beaches level. I also think he has the Alex Ferguson effect of thou shalt not look at me the wrong way or thou shalt feel my wrath. Now, I have a very, very strong opinion on this because I have a natural aversion to the singling out, scapegoating social media has become. So Tottenham don't play well. Oh, that's all so-and-so's fault. Let's just dive on them. And we seem to, as a club, have moved on the players that got it every week, no matter what they did. So now it's a rotating system. So let me start by saying, when we signed Brennan Johnson, we had a conversation on the podcast who said it didn't excite me. I didn't say he was crap. I didn't say I didn't rate him or any of the stuff that people claim I did. I was just like, it doesn't, like, I've watched him a few times, stuff for the money we're paying. That's the sort of money paying for a player. I'd be like, I should be feeling like, oh, this is amazing. This is going to be great. I'm just kind of like, I haven't seen enough from this guy, in my opinion, to be that blown away by this signing. He was here for a little while, and you, who were very excited by his signing, agreed with me. Yeah, we're not seeing it yet. We're not seeing it. There's little glimpses, so there's little moments, a few touches and stuff, but overall, it's not working. That was me and you saying that. That was our opinion. It's not working. We're not saying he's crap, he needs to be sold. What the hell did we waste all that money for? It ain't happening yet, is it? It's not clicking yet. And I was like, this is kind of what I was worried about. You know, you spend all that money, you're expecting someone to come in and be great. The club even started briefing journalists to be like, hey, we knew it was a long-term thing. We weren't expecting him to come in and be like superstar right away. And once that happens, you know that stuff's being said. And then the kid took himself off social media because Tottenham fans were laying into him so much.
Yeah.
That again, not is good... like... And that's the second member of this team that's had to do that, behind Pedro Porro, who is probably our most improved player this season to last season, for me. And yet, fans were writing him off. Fans were slagging him off. It was his fault for everything. Then it moved to Brennan Johnson. And now it's thoroughly on Kulusevski. Apparently, he's the worst thing to have ever happened to our football club, and it's like mind blowing to me. Now,
Andrew... Well, my favourite thing was I read, there's a reason that Juventus fans thanked us for buying him. Yeah, that was one of my favourite comments I saw, and I was like, oh, for goodness sake!
Yeah,
now, this is the guy that last season we couldn't sing his name loud enough, and even the start of this season. People couldn't sing his name loud enough. Like, he was loved.
So,
and now he's dropped off a form a little bit. His confidence a bit lower. And, oh, you can see why Juventus sold him. It's like, oh.
Yeah, the guys, him and Bentancur came in and got us into the Champions League. They came in the January, the season before last. And the two of them ignited our season and were phenomenal. And they were the reason we're playing football on a Wednesday next season. And all of that's now forgotten. Last season, he had a fairly good season, assist goals, but not to the level he wanted to be. He said that himself. This season, he's played on the left, played on the right, played in the middle, played deeper in midfield because we've been so injury hit. He's played all over the place, and he's been fairly consistent. And right now, he's not hitting the levels he would expect of himself. He did a fantastic open letter in the Player Tribune, where he basically says it himself, like, you know, so I know when I'm not playing well. Like, I know it, and it's hard and it's painful, and I'm like, this isn't going the way I want it to go. And everyone seems to forget that they're human beings, they're people. And, like, he talked about how his sister is his biggest critic. Sandra, as her name is, ironically. Not Redknapp. And so every time I see him and he ain't having a good day, in my brain thinking, oh, he's going to get a text off his sister. he's going to be getting slammed today. And, you know, he's it just didn't work for him. The other day against Luton, he just wasn't having a good day. He was trying to cut in when he probably should have tried to smash the ball across the face of the box. And when he did cut in, he didn't shoot. Like you said, he was trying to look for that extra pass. And perhaps Kulusevski, when he first arrived in the Premier League, takes that shot on. I remember a goal against Norwich. He had no right scoring. That just come in, dink, and it's in. And I think if he was doing that and taking the shots on, I think perhaps people wouldn't be so critical. People would be like, oh, you know, he had a good few efforts. He, you know, created a bit. Speaking of creating a bit, and this is a stat which I think people need to hear and people need to understand. We've got James Maddison on our team, a fantastic creative player. You only got to see the cameo he had for England to get that ball to Bellingham for us to equalise the other day to realise the impact he can have on a game instantly. You've got players like Brennan Johnson, who is racking up the assists. He has got the most assists of any player, the most goal contributions from the bench of any player in the Premier League, Brennan Johnson, this season. That's an impact. Yep. That's phenomenal.
He's going down the super sub route.
Yeah, well, I just think he's... When he was being started, he was struggling. When he's playing... bit, you know, when he's having 30 minutes, 40 minutes to make an impact, you can see he's starting to feel more comfortable, and it's now about building that to 90 minute performances, which he can do. He's still young, so he can do
that. He looks like he's confident in himself to come on and make a change.
Yeah,
like he looks like he's got that confidence where the manager has said to him, right, you got 20-30 minutes. Yeah. I need you to go and do this. You are going to change the game. And he goes, like, it's almost as if he's going, geez, he really does trust me to do that. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
When he starts a game, he has nothing to change yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he's not being told to go on with an exact instruction of go change the game. And I think that's where he kind of struggles a little bit.
Well, I mean...
He kind of needs that, you know...
Yeah, which isn't great if that's the case. I mean, he you know... And that possibly points towards the whole team. Like, we've been starting games so poorly. I mean, we've not scored in the first half at our stadium for, like, 7 games in a row, which is appalling. You know, that shouldn't be happening. You know, it just that... But we are creating chances. We're just... Whatever the hell it is. I say this sort of funnily. Someone's due a hiding at our ground at some point. At some point, we're going to score early... And I really think we're going to hammer a team. I genuinely do, because I think once...
Oh,
if we start
please
fast,
be the 28th of April. Please be the 28th of April.
Could you imagine?
That's the one that we win 7-0.
If we did that, I'd just retire happy.
So
Kulusevski, like I said, we got some great creative players on our team and everything. Kulusevski has created the most chances for our team this season. It's around 50, which is beyond everybody. I don't remember the exact number. Sorry, I think it's 53, but it's over 50 anyway. It's a small number over 50, and they're classed as key passes in Opta stats, but chance creation in the Premier League stats. So basically, he has made the pass that someone has then had a shot at goal. Now he's not got many assists. And there's different ways of looking at this, and it's quite funny because we talked about this when it comes to recruitment and data and the way we've changed our analysis of players. So I'm just going to do this example again, and I apologise if this is boring people, but this is where we've changed our recruitment. In the past, we looked at two creative players. One had 10 assists, one had 5 assists. We would sign the one who had 10 assists. We wouldn't look at anything else, like, he's got 10 assists, brilliant. Now, we take another look at this. The guy who's got 10 assists is playing in a midfield behind a striker like Harry Kane. Every time he gives in the ball, he scores. The guy who's got 5 has actually created 50 chances. But the striker...
He's playing with the
real yeah, but the striker is not a natural finisher in that team and therefore is wasting a lot of chances. And so he's only actually got 5 assists. We now sign that guy. We now look at that and go, right, this guy is creating chances in every single game, but his team's not finishing it. We put him with a natural, better finisher. He's going to get loads more assists. Now, this sounds so simple. It's not rocket science, but this is what Brighton have done. And this is what we are now mirroring when we're signing players. That's just for a creative player. That's just like that. That's the example I can give you of the way we've changed it.
Yep.
So everyone's delighted with that. Everyone's over the moon with the way we've changed our recruitment. Everyone's looking at the players we're signing and going, yeah, we can actually see a real difference to how we're doing this. And the players coming in are of a better quality, definitely. But we're looking at a player we already have who is doing exactly that. 50-odd key passes and chance creation. And he's only...
Looking at the forwards go, why are they not scoring? We're looking at him go, he's not doing anything.
So in the Luton game, in that first half where everyone was... He was crap, awful, take him off, terrible. He created 5 chances, 2 of them classed as key passes that should have been scored. The one to Werner and the one to Son, which are two chances that both of those forwards could look at and go, yeah, we should have scored. And I think they both would. I think both Werner and Son would look at that and go, we should have scored. So that
means Kulusevski has two assists at half time.
So that means at half time, when where everyone's been slagging him off, if they'd taken the chances, which again, like I said, go and watch them. Both chances the striker should have scored. That's two assists. And everyone's screaming for him to be dragged off the pitch. It's a perception. It's an interesting thing that people get it in their minds that he is not scoring the goals or getting the assists, therefore he is poor, he is crap. In that game, he didn't have a good half. I think he would hold his hands up, and Ange obviously said he didn't do what I needed him to do. But that's because he is a naturally left-footed player playing on the right, and he is not going to go past the man and smash it across. He is going to try and cut back. Does he have the ability to use his right foot? Yes. Is his confidence low at the moment? Yes. So that's why he's cutting back all the time. Pushes himself. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, go on. I think was it last week where someone spoke to me about like the starting 11?
Yeah.
And I put Kulusevski out on the left.
Yeah.
For that reason, because I think, you know, like you said, if Ange wants someone just to beat a man and drill across him, Kulusevski can do that with his left all day long.
He can.
I'd love to just see him get a bit of time on that left and see if it makes a big difference.
He can, but at the same time, I don't think Werner's doing a lot wrong. And also, just to really make everyone laugh, Werner's right-footed and he's playing on the left. But Werner will go past a man and use his left foot because he's feeling confident at the moment.
Yeah.
Kulusevski feeling confident. Everyone knows he can beat people. We saw that when he first joined us. He can knock the ball past and run past people. He's got an engine on him like you wouldn't believe. But it's almost like at the moment he feels a little bit fragile. He doesn't feel anything. And funnily enough, it's what Johnson was like for a while. Maybe Kulusevski needs to sit on the bench for a couple of games or sit on the bench for the next game, looking at it from the bench like, I know how I can impact this. I know what I can do to come on and change this.
Comes on for 25 minutes, makes an impact, and we go, there it is.
Yeah, and he feels it. He feels, there it is. There's my confidence back. And that's like, it feels like, you know, like when a striker needs one to go in off his ass, you know, to kind of
he
get
falls
that.
Over, ball hits him, it goes in.
And
like,
all of a sudden, all of a sudden he's scoring again for fun. It feels to me like Kulusevski needs to pick up the ball and smash a shot and it goes in. And all of a sudden you'll go, I remember. I know what I'm doing. And people forget Sonny had an awful run for a while, you know, where everyone was, I remember people online slamming, Sonny should be dropped. He's not doing everything. Da, 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 da.
The thing with Sonny as well is that he's had two or three he's been at the club a long time now.
Yeah.
And he's had two or three spells where he kind of goes through this thing where like every touch goes a yard further in front of him than normal, or every shot goes. Yeah. And every time people are like, I see he's done, get rid of him. And then he comes back and gets like, you know, golden boot.
Yeah.
Or, becomes club captain and plays phenomenally well. It happens. Everyone has dips.
Yeah. And the idea like that fans turn on people so horrifically now, we're supporters. The clue's in the name. When someone is running low on confidence, laying into him ain't going to do him no good. And these guys, and I saw someone say, why are people moaning about us tagging such and such a player, calling them shit? It's not like they read it. Yeah, they do. Like, I know you have this image that all of these players have their social media team. Don't get me wrong, they probably do, but they also still read stuff themselves. That's why a lot of them don't have comments on anymore. That's why a lot of them, hand it over to teams and go, I can't read that anymore. Jeez, that's become toxic. You've got countless interviews with players and their mental health. Richarlison, I saw universal praise for him from the Tottenham fan base. That a brave guy coming out talking about his mental health. Oh my God, I can't believe he was so bad. I swear, if I went back through some of the tweets of the people supporting him, they were slagging him off at one point.
And when he next misses a great chance.
And don't get me wrong, there's a big difference between, you should have scored that, you idiot. You know, in that moment, like, you should have scored that, you should have done better there. Or saying, they're clearly not feeling it at the moment, they're clearly out of form. there's a massive difference to that to tagging them in stuff and also just straight up abuse. Not good enough is the thing you see thrown around, or
get out of my club.
I saw one of the players put a message. I think it's Lo Celso. Lo Celso said this was my 100th appearance for Tottenham, this great club. You know, really, really proud of that. In the comments, you're always injured. You're a waste of space. I'm like, yeah. I can be critical of his injury record, and I say things, and I'll say that's the reason I'd look to whether we'd sell him or not, because of his injury record. Yep. I don't think you can doubt his ability, and I don't think you can doubt his commitment when he's fit. But
100%. Like, if we can keep him fit for a whole season, he's a real asset.
Yeah.
The problem is he has two or three injuries a season. Yeah.
And that's the issue. And that is the issue. Like,
if you've been at a club as long as he has and you've only made 100 appearances.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are players who do that in two seasons.
Yeah. But yeah, we've already seen players eclipse it who joined after him. So
yeah.
So there is, and don't get me wrong, I know he's been out on loan and stuff, but that's all part of it as well. Like, we've been trying to, like, okay, go out and loan, get yourself fit, get yourself happy, and come back, and he comes back. Now, don't get me wrong, Lo Celso also gave a very good interview in Spanish not that long ago where he talks about his time at Tottenham being disappointing for him. And one of the things he points to, he says, I've never been able to get settled because the club have been in transition the whole time. I signed for Mauricio Pochettino, and then he was replaced by Jose Mourinho, who didn't want me within a few weeks. And then since then, it's been stop start, this manager out on loan. And so from his point of view, yeah, he's right that from us as fans, it's been stop start injuries. From his point of view, it's been stop start. This guy likes me. This guy doesn't. This guy wants me to do this. Okay, I'll try, but that's not my natural thing, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been weird. And I will just say as well, just very quickly on him, he tracked back in the dying minutes against Luton and stopped them from equalising. Him.
It was a fantastic block. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Højbjerg, who I have a real thing for him tracking back. He does so much well, by the way. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg does so many things in a game that I think, oh, I'm too harsh. Like, I see him do something, I go, oh, I've been really harsh to him. And then I watched him, just watch the guy run past him. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I think the best way to describe Højbjerg is he is a blocker. Like, if the ball is coming towards him, he gets in the way, he'll cut out a pass.
Yeah.
He is not a track backer.
A track backer, that's a good one.
You know, if the ball is going past him, he'll throw himself at it and he'll get in the way of a pass, interception, and it goes on. Yeah. If the ball has a player next to it, he's just, I'll pass you.
It's the standing there pointing like he's expecting some other player just to do his job for him that just... Anyway, look, like I said, you can be critical of players without absolutely damning them. And for me, that's just the one thing with him that I look at and I go, that's probably why we're looking to replace him. You know what? Basuma's started doing it. Have you noticed that? Like, Basuma's gone that way. And I like, you watch the way Basuma started this season. He was ferocious. He was phenomenal at doing this job. Now he's standing off as well. And I got to wonder if the club are looking at that as well, going, oh, that's, you know, that's not what we
I think Basuma is very, very close. Now, I think I messaged you and said, if you look at the way he celebrates Sonny's goal.
Yeah.
He runs across, he belts the ball into the goal while screaming in celebration. He's celebrating, he's dancing with the fans, like the passion and everything else.
Yeah, bear in mind, he'd just been subbed, by the way. He was walking around the pitch. So he ran on and smashed the ball into the net in sheer jubilation.
Like, that was that's pure happiness and passion for the club.
Yeah, I've got no doubt.
Performance-wise,
he
needs to pick them up.
Yeah, I've got no doubt that his commitment's there. And like,
do you know
who
Basuma, he slightly reminds me of, and it worries me a little bit?
Go on.
Is Lewis Holtby.
Oh, really?
Remember, Lewis Holtby, he was pure passion. He was pure commitment for Spurs, pure passion for Spurs. Like, he loved being at that club. The fans loved him. But the actual effort he was putting in and stuff wasn't matching the passion and commitment. I worry Basuma's going to go down.
See, Lewis Holtby, for me, was very good on social media, but he wasn't very good at football. Now, that may sound harsh, but a lot of people love that guy because of his social media presence, and not many people, like... Give me an example of something he did in a game that stands out to you.
He tackled a referee in Ledley King's testimony. That is the problem, isn't it? That's the problem.
Now, Bissouma, at the start of this season, was man of the match consistently. He had that brain melt moment where he dived and got himself sent off against Luton, ironically, at their place. And it's like he's never recovered from it. It's like he's never been able to shake that off. Now, he went to AFCON and he got ill, malaria, and then he hardly played in the AFCON. He came back and he started very well, but then it's drifted off again. He's been dropped from the Mali squad. Now, I don't know how good their national team is, but I'd have thought a guy playing in one of the top Premier League teams should be getting into it. So it feels like there's an issue there somewhere off the pitch, which is creating a problem for him on the pitch. But who knows? And that's the thing. None of us actually know. And we can say, look, he's not is hitting his levels right now. And I think that's fair. But to go beyond that and to speculate is I don't think that's going to do anyone any good. But anyway, so I think we've more than answered that question, which was originally all about Kulusevski.
25 minutes ago. Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. That's the definition of a tangent. Now we're going to fly through these. Over on Facebook. Over on Facebook, we've had a couple of messages in from Barry Fowles. So in the first one, I have a question for this week. After this week's game, Timo Werner, make him permanent or not? He is amazing on the wing and creates a fair but in front of goal, our wingers just aren't contributing enough in terms of goals, in my opinion. Can we afford Werner, who misses more than he scores? What are your thoughts on Werner?
I think we sign him.
Yeah.
I think there's a player there. Give him a full pre-season and a bit with Ange as well. Yeah. Like, I think there's a player there. He's just turned 27? It's not like he's an old player, you know. There's a player there that I think we can get some real good use out of.
Yeah, he
and it's like what, 15 million euros?
Yeah, it's
nothing.
Yeah, it's really not a big amount. The thing I'd say with Werner, which I think a lot of people probably are realizing the more they watch him, is sometimes he creates stuff by being on the pitch and being rapid. Because defenders have to change how they approach it. Like, if I'm defending against Kulusevski, he's a very big guy, but he's not going to do me for absolute pace. If I'm a fairly quick defender, he's got a good turn on him, etc. He's a big physical guy, but I don't have to worry about him running behind me if I'm playing a high line. If I'm playing a high line with Sonny there, Werner there, I'm worried. That's a real problem. Who do I follow? Who do I track? Do I try and hold the high line or do I drop back deeper? Now, if you drop back deeper, then you're creating the pockets of space that Maddison loves. So you can see immediately, if you're a defender and you're a team setting up the players, by having Werner on the pitch, we're creating all this. Now, Johnson is now doing the same thing. So if you start Werner, Sonny and Johnson, that's rapid. That's pace.
That's so much pace.
But you don't have that same, like a Richie or a Kulusevski, you can hold the ball up and sort of do that bit more physical work. Like, you can't just ping it to them. These guys need to be getting in behind or dropping in and playing off each other. Now, you start those three as a defence, or you start any combination of the players we've got. And I think this is why Ange is trying to get this combination where it's like, okay, I want to start Kulusevski because if he drifts in, he's almost like a target man almost, and defenders have to worry about that. But then if he drifts this way, Werner goes in behind. Sonny has the ability to drop deep, and it's like Sonny watched Kane for years and went, "Yeah, I'll do that now." And just started doing it. So you see the options that are there, and as a defender, it's a nightmare, and that's why we are creating chances. Now, for me, the club are going to sell Brian Hill this summer. I think it's not worked, I think, for the player or the club. I think he's a talented lad, but I don't think English football is ever going to be for him. That's just my opinion. I could be completely wrong and he could go on to be like phenomenal in England, but I think he goes back to Spain and has a good career in Spanish football, personally.
Yep.
And if he is leaving, I think sign Werner and one other. I think we are one short in our options for Ange's forwards. And I think Werner's a no-brainer for me. I think Werner replaces Kiel in the squad, if that makes sense. And in a way,
and he has the ability to play in any of those front three positions.
And in a way, he already has. Yaz already replaced him in the squad. Hill was fit. He's not making the match day squads. So for me, that kind of tells you. Yeah, so for me, I think Werner has done that. So for me, if Werner's happy, which he appears to be, and certainly appears to be happy with him and talks about how he can improve him, and he's willing to do that, I think it's a no-brainer. We sign him. Barry also said, and this he'd sent in previously for during the international break, he said, on the last podcast, you talked about how we nearly signed Zaha, but didn't. There are loads of examples of this. However, you can make if you could make one or two big signings at the end of this season, who do you buy or where do you feel needs addressing to make the biggest impact? So let's do one each. Don't pick a player, pick a position that you think that's where we need to sign someone.
Defensive midfield.
Okay. Yeah, midfield for me, the engine room. I wouldn't so much... I don't know, you've kind of covered that. So, to me, if we could add a striker who's a nine, who's like a real kind of, if you put the ball in a box, I'm going to score. Now, they're rare, by the way. It is rarefied air. But, yeah, you could always bring that former academy player back, I guess. Chris... has sent in a message. Chris, who knows full well that I struggle pronouncing his surname, he says, "Hi, y'all. I'm your number one fan from the country with the number one cricket side in the world." I don't know who you could possibly be. Anyway,
South Africa, England?
Yeah. It's strange that he's clearly from England, talking about the number one cricket team, and he's clearly England. And now he's... Yeah. Why would you say that? I mean, just like, hey, guys, it's me, Chris. I don't get it. Strange. Love the podcast. A positive outlook as per usual. This isn't really a question, more of a statement aimed at those weekly fans who complain and moan. I challenge them to turn their phones off during the games, watch the game, and think your own thoughts. Sit there for 10 or 15 minutes post-game and think about the game. You'll be surprised with what positive thoughts you'll have even after a loss without having all those negative stuff from social media in your mind. Yeah.
Fair comment. Spot on. Yeah.
It is amazing how quickly you see a narrative grow. One person says so-and-so shit and then everyone says it.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Okay, Matthew Fleming on Facebook says, question specifically for Sam. Out of curiosity, has Dan sent you the season over text yet? He has not. I don't know whether he's primed and ready, but I think because there's a battle for Champions League, the season is not over. So I think that one's cocked and loaded, probably. At least it was at one point. And Corey Birchfield with the final question says, who is on your wish list of rumoured transfer window signings this summer? Oh, I really don't have anyone.
Mine has changed dramatically since January.
Yeah.
Mine was Calvin Phillips. Safe to say I've changed my mind on that one just a little bit.
I'm very pleased to hear that.
there's a certain winger at Man City, English guy, who's getting very little game time, who I've always said I'd love to see in a Spurs shirt.
Jack Grealish.
Yeah. He's not getting much game time. There are rumours that he will be allowed to go if Pep can find a replacement for him. Yeah. And I'm like, that would be like my dream signing. I love that guy, but I don't see it happening.
No, I don't. I really don't have anyone. I've kind of gone into this thing where there are players that I look at and I think they'd be good. I think that player would be good. And then we've signed other people and I've been kind of like, oh, I don't know. And then they've proven, you know, recently, in the summer, the goalkeeper situation, I looked at us looking at David Raya and thinking, yeah, that makes perfect sense. He's classed as homegrown. He's Premier League experienced. And then we pulled out of that deal and went to sign a guy called Vicario, who I'd never heard of. So I was like, oh, what the fuck? You know,
you know what? I was very similar to you. Man City's Laporte.
Yeah,
I think he's pronounce it. Yeah. He was up for sale in the summer, and I was like, oh, proven winner, Premier League experience, Champions League experience, brilliant. Okay. He went off to, I think he's gone to Saudi Arabia.
He went to Saudi,
He went to Saudi, and we signed some guy that I'd never, ever heard of.
Yeah, Van der Velde.
And just knew, I knew he was a bit quick. That's all I knew. And now I'm like, that's the best signing we've possibly ever made. The guy's amazing.
We've been great with that. So, I'm kind of like not so much looking at the players. When the rumours come up, I'll try and do a bit of research if it's someone I don't know. But again, I'm kind of looking and just kind of waiting now. I think the recruitment team have improved so much. I'm feeling less inclined to be screaming about it and more kind of, okay, I'll trust you guys. I'll see what we can do.
Yeah. In our end, we trust. Yeah.
Well, we shall see. The next thing I wanted to do is I want to do a loan update, and I'm going to do this in a very kind of different way. So hang on.
Now it's time for the loan update.
Do you know how many players we have out on loan, technically?
I don't have that many fingers.
Go on, just try and guess.
I don't know.
Pick a number.
Seven. Let's go with seven. Let's go with seven.
Okay. Technically, we have 12 players out on loan.
12? Okay.
Two of them, though, are loans until their contracts end. So Ivan Perisic and Eric Dier.
And Dier, yeah.
So they're Dier at Bayern. He signed a deal with them permanently to stay with them. And Perisic with Hajduk Split has done the same. So those two have both left the club, but technically they are on the books until the summer. So that's kind of done. From the academy, Matthew Craig is at Doncaster and Josh Keeley, the goalkeeper, is at Barnet. And you know they're getting game time, etc. Alfie Devine and Phillips. Sorry, yeah, no, it's 13 actually, isn't it? It's 13. Yeah, so Devine and Phillips are both at Plymouth. Contrasting things, Devine got sent off yesterday. Phillips got man of the match.
They sacked their manager this morning.
Yeah, now that is actually a big deal from our point of view.
An issue.
Because the reason why Devine is there with Phillips is because the manager at Plymouth worked with both of them in the England Academy setup.
The under-20 manager, yeah.
So who they bring in could greatly impact game time for Devine and in turn Phillips for the end of the season, the rest of the season.
So, saying that, Phillips is pulling out man-of-the-match performances, so I like to think he is proving himself to kind of stay in there. Devine could be a worry depending on the next manager.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Joe Roden at Leeds is playing very, very well and rave reviews on a regular basis. He is obviously going to be up for sale this summer. So it's going to be interesting to see if Leeds want him, how much they're willing to pay, and if other clubs who have seen him play this well are ready to jump on him instead.
I think we're going to see Leeds win the championship, and I think he'll stay there.
Okay. Jed Spence at Genoa is playing. Jed Spence at Genoa is doing what I fear Jed Spence is: good one game, poor the next. So everything I read, and I've not actually watched, so this is stuff I've read. Again, he's still not doing anything to even get close to the potential we all thought he had. I again think Jed Spence is being sold this summer. They're bound to be a team in the Championship or Premier League who are going to take a chance on him, I think. Japhet Tanganga came through our academy, broke through, since then is stalled massively. Loans have not worked, but at Millwall, he is getting regular game time and is playing well. I saw him pick up man of the match recently. I've seen him score a couple for him, including a match winner. He appears to be very settled in that level Championship. To me, Jaff has found if teams are looking at Roden, I think teams are also going to be looking at Jaff for this summer. I'd be working on the basis that I'm going to join someone in the Championship to just keep getting games. I think if a Premier League team signs him, they're signing him as a backup. I think for him at this stage of his career, he can still have a very, very good career. You know, try and pick his right move. Ndombele at Galatasaray, less said about that the better. I just have no words left for that guy.
He's going to get another bloody winner's medal without actually playing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, potentially. Unbelievable. Potentially Ndombele is going to have a Turkish champions medal to go with his Italian Serie A for last season. So he's going to have won the league two seasons in a row for two different clubs in two different countries.
That is a stat and a half, considering the guy can't run from the halfway line without getting out of breath.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's unbelievable.
I mean, me and you have said this before, but the ability he's got, there's something wrong there. Like, I've gone from being completely slamming the guy to just, I don't know what to say now.
I'm always worried about him now. Yeah,
because clearly there's something wrong. Clearly there's something going on that is just not... Troy Parrott, Excelsior in Holland, they love him. And teams in Holland are very interested in him. PSV, Feyenoord and Ajax have all been scouting him every game. I personally, and I know this is one of these things like with Skip and stuff like that, I've seen him in the academy, I've seen him come through. He is classed as homegrown and club trained for us now because of the rule change. So yep. I see no reason why Troy Parrott this summer shouldn't be brought in and let the manager have a proper look at him. Because he didn't get a chance to look at him last year because he was injured. So because of that, they sent him on loan. He's got a year left on his deal when he comes back this summer with an extension option. So I see no reason why get him in, let the manager have a look at him, because with that club trained aspect, he could actually be part of the first team squad and really help us out for Europe. Reguilon at Brentford.
Great option.
Reguilon at Brentford is stop start. He's had a couple of knocks, a couple of injuries.
Got sent off.
He's either very good or very poor, according to Brentford fans, from what I've read. And that, again, fits in with like Jed Spence and a couple of other players. Just the inconsistency is what's killing him. And Veliz at Seville just isn't getting the game time we were promised. The club are pretty annoyed about it. When he went there, got given the number 9 shirt, etc. Everyone was expecting him to be at least constant, not starting, but at least getting minutes.
Game time. He's not. Yeah.
The club, apparently, according to Fabrizio Romano on a podcast last week, are already in discussions to find him a loan for all of next season. So the club are obviously thinking that. Now, for me, I hope we've learned from the Brian Gill, from my mistake, and we find him alone in the Championship. Now, the player might take some convincing for this, but he appears to have an attitude where he knows what he needs to do to make it. And for me, you find him a mid-top Championship team who are going to be trying to, you know, have got ambition, or a team that perhaps been relegated, lose their forward and need a new one. I think that kid can be prolific. I genuinely do. Just from what I've seen, and you look at the reputation he has in Argentina, like, you know, what they think of him. He has the ability, but he needs to learn English as a key language, you know, and he needs to learn English football. The Championship's a bloody hard league, and there are some great sides and clubs in the Championship. And you play a lot of games.
Agree.
You know, you could play, like, you could finish the season with 40 to 50 games under your belt. Easy. As alone in the Championship. Yep. I think we need to learn from the mistake with Hill where we kept sending him to Spain. Oh, you'll feel more comfortable there. You'll do that. Yeah, but then he's not learning English football. So for me, if we are planning to do that, I hope Veliz is going to go to a Championship side.
If he does need convincing about it, all we have to do is point out that other academy striker that had a couple of years in the Championship and then went on to do pretty well.
Yeah, he did all right.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of loan roundup. If anyone ever wants any more details or anything like that, then get in touch and I'll happily just natter on because I'm a nerd with stuff like this. I want to finish the podcast this week with what I'd like to call the Sunny Appreciation Society. Sonny, with his goal against Luton, the winner, became the outright fifth highest goal scorer in the club's history. When you consider that for the duration of his time at Tottenham, he was our second striker slash winger behind Harry Kane.
Yep.
It's phenomenal. It is actually the level he has been for us is exceptional. And when you consider that he wanted to leave after his first season because he didn't enjoy it, was finding it difficult, and he basically had to be convinced, like, no, we believe in you. You can do this. It's kind of like a lesson in everything from fan patience to players kind of realizing he clearly loves being at the club. He loves playing in England. I think for him, England's the best league in the world, the Premier League, so that's why he's so comfortable. I just wanted to finish the podcast just praising him, really. I can't say enough good things about him. I love the guy.
He's been a hell of a servant to this club.
He just phenomenal. From sunny, smiling, happy play to he's got that little bit of niggle to him as well, which I like, you know, that kind of nasty side. You know, he'll put his foot in, he'll get stuck in. He's a real competitor. I think in a leadership role, I've seen so many things this season and little interviews with different players and little snippets in articles where they've talked about him just being there for them. Just like, you know, Sarr talked about when he went off to African Cup of Nations and Sonny was at Asia Cup. He was checking in with him like every day. Just like, how you doing? Yeah. How you getting on? How's training? I saw your game. Thought you did well. Da 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 da. Romero talks about, you know, like the leadership. I mean, this made me laugh because I think this sums up. So apparently they set up a leadership group WhatsApp, and Romero admitted that he didn't realise for a few weeks he'd been added to this group and was just kind of ignoring it, which kind of, I think, sums him up. But he's just like, yeah, we're talking constantly about our expectations, what we want to see from the team. So my message when I'm still at the back shouting forward is the same as his message, you know, at the front, and Madison's in the middle. They appear to have really kind of come together. I think it's made Romero a stronger player to be in part of a leadership group. I think Madison at the moment struggling a little bit for he's trying to find his touch again a little bit. Like, you see it there and then it's not quite there. I think he's still struggling a little bit, maybe fitness wise. You know, because Ange took him off the other day and he looked pretty mad about it, but then he went down to get treatment. So I think perhaps there's still a little something there, maybe. And Sonny, you know, yeah, he's just been phenomenal. I think being captain, he's like made him taller, you know, made him even more Sonny, if that makes sense. So yes, just
the sort of person you'd want as your captain. Like, you've got two types of captain. You've got the Roy Keane captain, you've got the Son captain, you know? Yeah. You're either going to have a bloke who stood behind you literally kicking up the arse to make you go.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have the captain that's got his arm around you, and like you say, you've gone away for an international tournament, you're getting phone calls. How you doing? Yeah. How's it going? Well done on this. Do this.
Yeah. And it would appear that, you know, the new signings, etc., have all talked about how he's talked to them about the club, the history. Is encouraged them to get involved in it, encouraged them to get involved in all of the kind of charity stuff and everything, and said to them, like, you know, the more involved you are, bigger the part of the community, the more at home you feel. I think he's phenomenal. I'm so proud of him being the captain of our football club. You know what I mean? Like, I was always very, very proud of him as our player and him as captain. Yeah, I'm really happy. Mate, it's one of those rare things, because we do this show on a Tuesday now, where we actually have a game tonight. We're playing West Ham away. Now, you love West Ham. They're like your other team. You think they're wonderful. You're a total West Ham whore. When they're playing in Europe, you're like, oh, I love West Ham. Can't wait for them to win a trophy and all this stuff. And I personally,
I wish, do you know what? I wish that was more of an exaggeration than it is. No, my stepdad came along when I was 8 and he was a West Ham fan, and that was not long after I discovered Spurs. So I've kind of always had a little bit for West Ham. Not when we're playing them, because for some reason they always turn into West freaking Barcelona.
Yeah.
Whenever we play them. Like, they can be shit for an entire season. We play them and it's like prime 2008 Spain. It's like, I don't understand.
I don't get it. It's a late kickoff this evening. It's 8:15 at the London Stadium. We need to show up for this. Like, I really hope that the Fulham game is proving a point to us that you gotta go there with the right mentality. I really hope we do, because I think we can win the game. Because I think West Ham will come at us. I don't think at home they'll sit deep. I think
they
will.
They can't afford it with the fans. They can't afford to.
I hope not. Anyway, I hope not, because it makes for a very frustrating watch for everybody when teams do that. But anyway,
yeah.
We shall see. We are running late, but still sounding great. So we're going to wrap the show up now. Mate, is there anything else you want to say before we finish?
No, I think we're good.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to keep it rolling. We'll be back weekly discussing all things Tottenham Hotspur into the run-in for the season. Until then, everybody, you all take care.
Come on, you Spurs.
Thank you for listening to the Spurs News Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Stay up to date with all things Tottenham. Follow us on social media. All links are in the podcast description.